Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
Pastor Chauncey has preached half of my sermon. I just want to say to you all, this is a powerful, powerful piece of equipment that everybody should have in their household. It's spelled B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. It speaks with a lot of power. When I was a student in college, I had this one class where just about every 2 weeks we had to write a paper. And it had to be 2,500 words or more. I wrote 2,500 words. The professor said, "You're the only student I have that writes exactly 2,500 words." I told him, "That's what you said." He said, "I said, or more." I said, "2,500 is what you asked, is 2,500 what you get." And it was always to the point. He said, "And the thing about it is, it's always to the point. I'm going to be to the point. I'm going to be quick. I'm nervous. Pray for me." I've did this before, so I don't know why I'm nervous. It might be because Lisa's here. Lisa and I worked in the same facility, and we fought some battles there. We've been through some battles there. But Lord persevered and has brought us safely through. I had a friend that whenever he caused any problems, his mother would say, "Jonathan Aphorithis," and she'd call every last one his names. I knew he was in trouble whenever I heard that. And when I would get in trouble, my mother would just say, "Catherine, what are you thinking about? Why did you do that?" So parents have a way of calling their children out. But we have a Heavenly Father that does the same. So the title of what I'm going to talk about today is When God Calls You Out. I was going to change it to something else, but I decided I wouldn't. There's no requirements. There's no application to fill out. No job interview, and the only requirement expected from God is that you let self go, be willing to serve, and be a servant. What I love about my Heavenly Father is that He first loved us. He didn't know us, but He loved us. And His Son, Christ Jesus, came as a servant to serve us, to bring us out of the darkness into the light of His word. So when God calls you, when He calls you out, it's a small, still voice. He don't shout at you. He just whispers, and only you can hear that. It's clear, but it's a small, still voice. There's the first people that I know that was called out was Adam and Eve. They were the first ones that were called out. And when I think about them being called out, God had created Adam first. He had created him in His image. In Genesis 1:26, it said, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over everything. Birds in the air, things that creep on the earth, those in the sea, everything He gave dominion over. So God created man in His image. You will find that in Genesis 1:26. And in 27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God placed them in the Garden of Eden. What's so amazing about them being placed in the Garden of Eden? It was without sin. There was no sin there. When I think about the celestial a paradise they were given, a beautiful place, no sin. When He created Adam, He said, it's not right in Genesis 1:2:18, He says, it's not good that a man should be alone. Then you move on to verse 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took a bone out of him. And he took it out of his rib, and he mended that place back where Adam couldn't even tell. And so both he and this woman was placed in the Garden of Eden, a paradise, no sin. Can you imagine in your mind no sin? Think about this. There was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no debt. Hey, that was, to me, when I was listening to him, I said, try that when you're single. No clothing was required. And even the animals loved them and was present with them. I'll say again, no sin. And Adam, let that sink in. No sin. We don't know, not, we know what sin is. But they didn't know what sin is. And as I said before, Adam was made in image of God from the dust of the earth. And Eve was created from a bone taken from Adam. Think about that. If that bone had been taken from his toe, that would have meant that the man was supposed to rule over that woman. But God said, no. If it had been taken from his head, it would have meant that the woman was supposed to rule over the man. But no, he took it from the side. He took it from his side, which implied equality and mutual respect for each other's. You can find that in Genesis 2:21-25. I have no idea how long Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. That paradise before sin entered and corrupted the genetic makeup of two perfect human beings that was given authority over Eden. A true paradise. Adam and Eve is not my subject today. That just happened to be the first couple that God called out. Two perfect beings giving up paradise. I just use them as a reference point for when God calls you out. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I ask that whatever I speak, Father, may the Holy Spirit speak through me. May people be able to understand what it is that I'm saying, because you're the one who brought this to me months ago. You brought it to me. So, Father, I bring it to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have no idea how long Adam and Eve resided in that amazing paradise called Eden. However, just as Adam and Eve were given a choice, we too are given a choice as to whom we will serve, whether it be man or whether it will be God. What I like about God, I want you all to think about what I'm going to say here. In the Bible, it says that God would come in the cool of the day and walk with Adam and Eve and talk to them. That's amazing that they could actually see this person talking to them. He's talking to Adam and to Eve, but one day, you don't see them. They're hiding. They're hiding because they figure we must have did something wrong. And so they're hiding from God. And God called them out. Go with me, if you will, to your Bibles, to Genesis 3:9-13. I want you all to read with me what happened. I'll give you a few minutes. You got your Bible, Pastor Chauncey?
I got mine right
now. All right.
All right.
Genesis 3:9-13. Let's read what happened. And the Lord called to Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Adam says, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. How did they know they was naked? Who told them they was naked? Think about that. God asked, who told you that thou was naked? Guess what he did? He threw the woman under the bus. If there had been a herd of elephants coming through, he just tossed her out there underneath them. And he pointed to that woman and said, that woman that you gave me to be with me, gave me of the tree, and I did eat. She didn't put it in his mouth. He knew what God had said. That bothers me. But I've learned to live with it. My question to you all, my brothers and sisters, has God called you out? Has God called any of you out? If you want to read the rest of this story, you're going to have to go through Genesis 1, and it ends in Revelation 22:21. Adam and Eve weren't ready, so they played the blame game. We're still playing the same blame game today, pointing to this person or that person. Got to get out of that. From Genesis to Revelation, you will find chapter after chapter in the Bible where God calls out his children for various reasons. I want to just name a few. Pastor Chauncey named a couple. I want to start with Noah. Can you imagine what it was like? Here's Noah. He ain't never seen no ark before, and God says, I want you to build me an ark. But what was so great about it, that when God calls you to do something, he equips you. And he gave him the direct dimensions and everything that he needed to do. We must remember, though, that people back there in those days used a lot of their brains. They had more going for them than we do. But that's still no excuse. There's still no excuse for sin. To play the blame game. So Noah built this ark following God's instructions because he called him out to build this ark. If it wasn't for Noah building that ark, would we be here? We wouldn't be here. But he followed what God called him to do. He called him. Then let's look at Abraham. Abraham was told to leave his country, to leave his family, to go. But God promised him a blessing. Because of Abraham, we were rewarded with a great gift. But Abraham was promised to be the father of a great nation. At night, when you look up at the stars, think about what Abraham was promised. He was promised that. And plus, I'm sure most of you all are aware that Jesus was that greatest gift that came through Abraham. And we heard Pastor Chauncey talk about Joseph. He did. He went through so much. His family didn't like him. At least his brothers didn't anyway. Because he whined. I had a brother like that. Everything we did, I'm going to tell Mama on y'all. Everything, we had no peace from him. He was a telltale. But Joseph wasn't a telltale. Joseph was just doing what God was leading him to do. He just was not aware of it yet. Some of you all might not be aware that God is leading you someplace, but you just haven't gotten exactly what it is he wants for you. Then I thought about Moses, little baby in crocodile-infested water, and he's found and he's educated with the best education he could possibly get. He was a warrior. Think about Moses. I'm giving him the first 40 years of his life where he was a warrior. People looked up to him. They loved him. They respected him. He was supposed to be the next Pharaoh. But something happened. He killed a man and fled. And he ended up in the desert, in the mountainous area, and he became a shepherd. I think about that because God began to cleanse him from what he had learned in Egypt. He began to cleanse him, mold him, shape him, renew in him the spirit that he had plans for him. That's why I had Jeremiah 29:11 read, because God has thoughts and plans for each and every individual in here. Now, I looked at Moses, those 40 years that he spent in the wilderness being a shepherd. You know what it teaches you to be a shepherd? It teaches you patience. Sheep are something else. They can find the tiniest hole and get through it and wander away and be off in the woods, lost, going, yeah. And they're not stupid, but it's just something about them. They're like us. They're just like us. So you think about Moses was a shepherd. I'm giving him 40 years, and God called him out. God called him out. It took him being nosy, because the bush wouldn't burn. So he said, I got to go see this. This is a miracle. I got to go see this. He goes up there, and God calls him out and tells him to take your shoes off, because this is holy ground. And God don't like no filth. He don't like no sin. But he's a forgiven God. I want you to remember that. And he sent him back to Egypt to rescue and bring out his people. He brought them out. 40 years he spent with them. Can you imagine? They agitated him. They made him do things that someone called by God wouldn't do. He struck that rock when God said, speak to it, and he struck it. It wasn't just that, but he wasn't even allowed to go into the promised land. But he was allowed to go up high on the mountain, look south, north, east, and west, and see what it was that God had promised. And David was another example. He slew Goliath when he was just a young child. He slew him, and people worshiped him, and David had a gift, but he made a mistake. I want you to remember the mistakes that some of these people made. Then look at Daniel and the three Hebrew brothers, boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and I always liked the way Pastor Cleveland would say it, and a bad Negro. Then there's Esther. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, you will find many, many, many stories of where God called people out. I'm asked again, has he called you out? Think about it. Some were obedient, and others decided to do it their way. There's one example of one who decided to do it his way, and that's Jonah. I think about Jonah was called to go to Nineveh to preach and tell the people that the Lord was going to destroy it. Hey, he decided, for God, I ain't going there. I wish I would go there. Them people ain't nothing but a bunch of sinners. I ain't going there and preach. I said to destroy it. Well, he catches a boat to Tarshish. I laugh about that every day. I think about that. He caught a boat to Tarshish. He sleep at the bottom of it, and there's this storm, and they're asking, man, who's against whose God or what? He's down there in the bottom of the boat, sound asleep, and they go down and say, man, what's going on here? You know, have you displeased your God? And, you know, Jonah's like, it's me. Throw me in the water. Think about it. He gets thrown in the water, and this great fish comes along and think about that. God is on time. When God calls you to do something, let me tell you, he ain't going to let you get away with it. He's going to find a way to get you to do what he wants you to do, because he has thoughts and plans for you. But think about Jonah in the belly of this nasty fish, stinking fish, for 3 whole days. And this fish spit him out just where he was supposed to be. I don't want that to happen to any of you all. When God calls you, he has a purpose for you. When God calls you out, he will not take no for answer. I think about Mary, Jesus' mother. Can you imagine this young girl? Think about her. Never knew a man. Never been with a man. And here's this angel standing up there telling, well, you know, and she's telling, hey, man, I ain't never been with nobody. You can't do this to me. She could get stoned for being pregnant. But he says, the gift that you're going to carry is a gift of salvation that she carried in her. Could she say it? No? I don't know. But she didn't. She went through it. And Joseph was getting ready to dismiss her. But the Lord spoke to him and said, no, accept her. And she did. When God calls you out, he has a purpose for you. Then one other I thought about was Saul. Saul was going around persecuting Christians left and right. He didn't have enough where he was. So he decided to get paperwork so that he could go to Damascus to persecute, imprison, and mess over some there. But oh, God had other plans for Saul. The one thing about God, when he has plans for you, he's going to use you. Turn with me to Acts 9, and we're going to start at chapter 3. A light shone. They're on the way to Damascus. They're on the horses traveling, and he's thinking, yeah, when I get there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And a light all of a sudden, the horse bucks, throws him off. He falls to the ground, and this light is all around him. And he hears a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5 says, how does Saul know he was Lord? He says, who are you, Lord? How did he know that was Lord? Or was that the name they called people back there in their day? I don't know, because I wasn't there. But it was just so strange for him to say that. And the Lord said to him, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against God. Trembling and astonished, Saul asked the very question we should ask. Lord, what do you want me to do? When he calls you out, when you hear that small, still voice, just ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? So today, as my title says, when God calls you out, don't look back what you're leaving behind. Look forward to where he's taking you. Don't be like Lot's wife. Anybody know what happened to Lot's wife? She looked back. They ain't been able to find that salt paw yet. But she turned into a pillar of salt just by turning back when she was told not to look back. God tells us, when I called you out, you ain't got to look from where you came from, because where I'm taking you, you're going to be my servant. I'm going to use you. Sometimes he can call you out in the darkness into the light of his word, that you may proclaim his words to others who need to hear. That's what we're supposed to be done. Pastor Chauncey has said, he's going to work you all. I got a bad knee. I'll do it in my neighborhood. But I'll do the best I can to those that I meet. Amen. I testify. I tell them who I am. I'm not ashamed to tell people that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to tell people that I'm a Sabbath worshiper. I worship on the Lord's Day. And I have a lot of Catholics in my neighborhood. And they say, but we go to church on Saturday. I said, you go to, I forget what it is, to Mass. I said, we have literally church service because the Lord set it out that the Sabbath is his day to worship, to come together, to fellowship. And a couple of them now are beginning to coerce me more and more about the Sabbath day, about God's day set aside. We're God's mouthpiece. We have to be his mouthpiece because everyone here in the presence of my voice, you're here for a purpose. God don't make no junk. God creates you because he wants to use you. We're all here for a purpose. And God might call you in the middle of the night, kind of like when he called Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3, 4 through 10, he called Samuel. Samuel goes to the gentleman, and he thought he heard him calling him. And he told him, go back to bed, son. Three times he went back. And finally, the person he was living with realized, and he told him, the next time you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, your servant here. Has God called you up? I'm asking you a question. You got to ask yourself, have you heard that small, still voice speaking to you? Because he has a purpose for you. I want to talk this. There was a young man here a couple weeks ago for Pathfinder's Day. His name is Chase Wilder. Everyone, when this boy was 7 or 8 years old, knew God was calling him. God was going to use him. Because he was speaking. He wanted to get up here and give sermons at 7 and 8, and he finally had the privilege of doing it when he was 8 years old, to stand up here and proclaim God's words to us. And he's been called. God called him for that. Our Heavenly Father didn't say when he would call us, but he said he knew the thoughts and plans he had for us. I want you to go with me to Jeremiah 29:11. You all know it. You might not have to go to the Bible and read it. Most of you should know that because it carries a lot of weight. Jeremiah 29:11 carries some powerful, powerful words to us. For I know the thoughts. God knows what he wants for us, that I think towards you. He ain't talking about Catherine. He's talking about everybody that's in the presence of my voice, those at home also, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Are we worried about what's going on in this world right now? As you heard my brother Fabre say, it's chaos over there in Haiti. It's chaos, Ukraine and Russia. It's chaos all over the world, even right here in these United States of America. Don't pretend that it's not. It's chaos. And there's more coming. Be prepared for when God calls you out to proclaim his word. Age means nothing to God. He can use you when you're young. He can use you when you're middle-aged, when you're a teenager. He can use you. So don't get caught up thinking, oh, he ain't going to call me because I'm 13 years old. He ain't going to call me because I'm 90. He ain't going to call me because I'm 100. You don't know. You might be the one to speak the words to somebody who has lost their way when you're 100 years old. And when you get to heaven, that person will come up and say, do you remember me? You told me about God. You have to remember that. God is good to us. And he expects us to reward him by telling others about the love of our Heavenly Father. Why else, I ask myself, why else would he have such love for us that he gave his only begotten Son? John 3:16 proclaims it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Finish it for me, please. Amen. Yes, everlasting life. Can you imagine what that's like? I know we might be tired of what's going on this earth right now. But when this earth is made new, I want to be there. But I also want to be in heaven, because I want to be able to go to those other planets and talk to the other people. Because I want them to ask me how I got over. And I will be able to proclaim it's because of the love of God through his son Jesus. Just be ready when God calls you out. God may not call you out to be the shepherd of a flock. He may not call you out to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, or any of those wonderful things. But the thing it is, he don't care what position you are in. He just wants to be able to use you for his service. You have to be willing to be a servant of the Lord. Amen. He wants you. He didn't create you just to sit around and sit on your hands and not do anything in the church. He created you to proclaim God's words to your brothers and sisters, even you young people. He has a purpose for you. Don't be ashamed to admit in school that you serve a good God, because many of them serve the TV set. Many of them serve the cell phone. I almost hit a man the other day on campus, because that was on campus. And he had his head down. And I blew the horn twice, and he just kept on walking. And then he cursed me out. And I said, oh, wow, you know. I waved at him and smiled. I said, that's okay. You know, I tell him, I've heard that language before. It ain't nothing new to me. Yeah, sure. But when you think about the blessings it calls to be a co-worker, to be a co-worker with God, that's what he wants you to be. Acts 9:6, you should always ask, when you hear that small, still voice, ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Everyone sitting in this church or listening at home, God has a purpose for you. And I say, when God calls you out, he equips you. The God I serve has never given up on me. He's still working on me and using me. I want to tell you a story. I'm just about finished. I said 2,500 words. This turned out to be 2,600 words. So the God I serve has never given up on me. He's still working on me and using me. This is a story I want to tell you all about a young lady. This story is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. This young lady had decided she wanted something more out of life other than the everyday routine that life offered her. Choosing a life she knew would take her from the path of what she knew, what was right. After a while, things began looking up for her, praise God. Everything was beginning to fall in place. Success was knocking at the door. She didn't leave behind what she knew, praying. She continued to pray and have conversations with God. She prayed while others snickered at her, laughed at her, and would say to her, why are you wasting time praying, girl? You're missing out on all the fun. Everybody else is having a good time. Everybody else is doing it. Why not you? That young lady wasn't into what everybody else was doing, because her name was Catherine. The year was 1975. She was playing in a band, and she signed with the rest of the band members a contract for 13 days in New York City, Manhattan, to play in a club during the Christmas season. Oh man, the money was good. We had never seen that type of money, I will tell you. I mean, wow, I said. And the agent that we had said, if you all make it here, you can make it anywhere. He said, you ladies are good. You can do it. He said, I got your back. I began to pray. I prayed. I said, Lord, how am I going to get to New York? And I got to work on the 23rd. I might not be able to make it. And I prayed. Well, I decided fly in after work. I flew in to work. I prayed on the airplane. Lord, be with me. Keep me safe. Keep me from harm's way. Protect me. Please, Lord. We arrived in New York. I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm here. Be with me. Keep me safe. Please, Lord, keep me. Keep my mind intact. Don't let me get caught up in anything that's not of you. The contract had been sealed. And as I said, it was serious money, more than we had ever been offered. I prayed. I was looking forward to see my bandmates. We were booked in a first-class hotel near Central Park. I remember screaming out the window, hello, New York. I'm here. Nothing can stop us now, Lord, nothing. We're on our way. I mean, I'm shouting out this window. I said, yeah, they probably said, that's a country girl. She's from the country. But what I did, I prayed. I had been praying. I had been asking God for directions. And guess what he did? He began to move in his own mysterious ways and answer my prayers. I went into the hotel and I got my key, the card to go to my room, and the gentleman that took me up to the room, we opened up the door, and all of a sudden I hear a voice, do you mind? We're in here. We're taking care of business. Do you mind? You're so-and-so, so-so-so-so. There's a couple in my bed. And I stepped back out the room, and I looked at the number to make sure I had the right room. I had the right room. So I said, well, let me go on. And I went into the adjoining suites, and there I found my bandmates, along with 25 to 30 people, total strangers, partying up a storm, beer cans and empty liquor bottles littered the floor, and a strange smoke was in the air. I heard a voice say, is this what you want? I said, did I really hear that? I looked to the left. I looked to the right. I said, no, I didn't hear that. But I picked up my suitcase and my instrument, and I took the elevator back down to the lobby. I asked for a cab to be called. I headed out the front door, and I walked over and sat on a bench facing Central Park. It was cold. I want you to take that in. It was cold. I was waiting patiently waiting for the cab to pull up, when suddenly the earth around me burst open and flames literally surrounded me. Flames purple, yellow, blue, red. I mean, I could feel the heat from them. And I had no place to turn. I only had one person I could turn to. And I cried out, help me, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord, help me. And all of a sudden, I felt hands on me saying, I got you, my child. And fear fell away. I felt at peace. And the voice saying, I got my child, I got you, child. The cab arrived, and I drove, had him drive me to the airport. And I sat there in the wee hours of the morning thinking about what I'd heard. Did I really hear these voices, or was it just my imagination? Or was I in the room long enough to inhale that smoke that it was an illusion? But I hadn't been there that long. But I just kept wondering, had I heard that voice? It was a small voice, but I heard it. I didn't pay any attention. I decided I would just go solo and play in clubs myself. Play the piano, sing. But I got no satisfaction. I didn't get any satisfaction from it whatsoever. Because once again, that voice spoke to me and said, is this what you really want? That's when I realized God was calling me out. I left everything behind in that world, and I didn't look back. I had made up my mind. I didn't want to come back to a Seventh-day Adventist church. I had been mistreated. There's things that had been said to me. I said, I ain't going back there with all them hypocrites, all they do. That's how I felt. So I started worshiping in Sunday churches. I didn't find, there was no satisfaction there because I knew the truth. When you know the truth, it'll set you free. So I realized there was a battle going on for my soul. And I said, help me, Lord Jesus. So one night while I was studying and reading the Bible, trying to make up my mind, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I was reading Jeremiah chapter 29. I had read most of Jeremiah, but I went to sleep on Jeremiah 29. And when I woke up, my hands was on Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. If you go with me, please, there. It's been read. It's on the back of your bulletins if you want to look at it. And it read, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. This young lady searched, standing before you, searched and found what she was seeking. She discovered an awesome God who reigns from heaven above with such wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Yes, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Yes, I was there when God called me out, when I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I'm just about through here. I've been tested. I've been tried. But I thank God Almighty that he's still working on me, using me. I've surrendered all. I'm his servant. It's been 40 years since I returned to my Lord. I placed my life in his hands. I said, Lord, I'm yours. Use me whatever way you want to. However, when he brought me back in a vision, he showed me that I needed to be rebaptized. And I said, why, Lord? I ain't did nothing out there but play some music. And he persisted. And finally, right here in this church, I was baptized again. When he called me to be prayer ministry leader, I did not want to be a prayer ministry leader. I figured people can pray for themselves. I don't need to be praying for nobody. I said, Lord, what's wrong with you? You know me. And he said, yes, I do, because I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. And I want you to be the prayer ministry leader. And that's what I became in this church. I didn't want to do it, but I did it. I'll say again that everyone in the presence of my voice, God has a purpose for you. He wants to use you as his mouthpiece. Do you hear his voice? Be ready when God calls you out. Amen. All heads are bowed at this time, please. I'm going to make an appeal to each and every one of you out there that when God calls you, please don't turn your back. He can call you while you're driving or working socializing with friends, or even here right now, Lord, hear my prayers as I pray that if there's someone out there in the audience that God is speaking to their heart, has spoken to them, oh, Father, I ask that you will move on their heart, mind, and soul, and that they will surrender and say, Lord, here I am. In the times in which we are living in now, you can't be guaranteed you will be able to come back next week and say, here I am, Lord, use me. So, Father, I pray that if there's an individual out there that's been struggling, Father, trying to make a decision for who they want to serve, help them understand you can't serve man and God. You have to make up your mind. Help them make up their mind, Lord. Help them make up their mind. Is God calling you out, saying it's time to come home, to come out of the darkness into the light of his word, to be God's servant? And he invites you to step out, to come forward. Jesus is calling you with that small, still voice. Be ye also ready when God calls you out to be a servant. His Father in heaven, in the times in which we are living, Matthew 9:37 says, Jesus said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. May we all be ready. Be ready. Be ready when God calls you out. Our most loving, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you this day for the words that you've placed in my presence. Father, they were only 700 words. But Father, I pray that they impress upon someone's heart, mind, and soul to take time to find a quiet place to hear that voice calling, because God is calling out to all of us. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Be ready when Jesus calls you out. Amen and amen.